8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Knotfest.com presents Talk to Me. With over 300 interviews under his belt and 6 years running, your host Joshua Toomey interviews metal and rock's heaviest hitters. Follow the show at Talk to Me Talk. Here's your host, Joshua Toomey.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into Talk to Me here on KnotFest.com. The guest this week is the great Phil Dimmel of Violence, formerly of Machine Head, and one of my favorite all-time guests on this show. If you guys remember pre-pandemic, when I went out to San Francisco for the Mr. Bunkle show, Phil Dimmel invited me over to his bar. We hung out, had a nice chat. And he was great, cordial to my wife. All around good dude, did not know that was going to be my last in-person interview for a very long time. We get into a lot of great stuff in here. We talk about his new baby, being basically Mr. Quarantine Jam. Every time you turned around, Phil Dimmel was doing another quarantine jam. He breaks the news that he was supposed to play Bloodstock with Devin Townsend. That would have been amazing. He is so proud of the 5 new Violent songs they're about to put out. And also just the legacy of Violence altogether, man, he's very proud of. We go into the Wayback Machine, talk a little bit about touring with Testament back in the day, and he ends with a little bit of Joey Jordison talk. And if you watch the video of this, he does a kind of a cool thing at the end because he was at his bar, and he goes out into his bar and kind of shows off the bar a little bit. So make sure to head over to KnotFest.com and become a VIP. Get the exclusive content, which all of the video episodes from my KnotFest era are over there. So go and check those out over there, and you can see a really cool thing of him walking around the bar and kind of showing off the drumstick chandeliers that he has. And speaking of KnotFest and KnotFest.com, there is currently a pre-sale for the Under Oath, Every Time I Die, and Spirit Box Tour. It's currently only for KnotFest Premium members, which people can sign up for at knotfest.com/join. The pre-sale is Thursday, today, post-day, and you can find your code in your account, in your email, or on knotfest.com. A couple of other announcements. Speaking of Mr. Bungle, KnotFest Chile and KnotFest Brazil have both been announced. Slipknot, Bring Me the Horizon, Mr. Bungle Trivium, Sepultura, and Vended in Chile, and KnotFest Brazil, Slipknot, Bring Me the Horizon, Mr. Bungle Trivium, Sepultura, Motionless in White, Vended, Project 46, and Armored Dawn. Both of those will be in 2022. I kind of think I might need to get a passport and go head over and check out those shows. I know I have some listeners from abroad, so if you're in those countries, make sure you're heading out and checking out KnotFest, and maybe I'll be there. You never know. But back to my chat with the great Phil Dimmel. Let's check out the little snippet teaser they gave us from the new album. Talk to Phil Dimmel, check out some classic Violence, and then I will talk to you guys momentarily.
Sean Kidd. What's up?
I've got a huge head, so it's mine is just like...
It fills up the whole screen.
It's an eclipse.
Is that why you wear the stretchy hats, you know?
I do, man, you know. Plus, I've got... It's like a 7 7/8 size head, so that's kind of big. And I can't find... I need one that's deep. Otherwise, the hats just kind of ride up like this, right, you know? And I've got a couple hats that fit good. But the beanies, they're... Take it easy on my head so I don't get that head fatigue. And, right, you know, you wear a hat a lot, right? So, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 7 5/8.
And, oh, yeah, that's pretty close.
So, yeah, and if you put on, like, something too small, you know, you get, like, it just squeezes your head. Then the bottom of your head, like, pokes out, it feels like.
Right, it feels
bad. It's terrible, man.
What are you wearing there? What's the hat?
It's a Titans hat, just the NFL logo.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Titans are tough, man. Titans
are tough. Last few years have been building something good, so we'll see what happens, man.
Yeah, man.
I was actually excited when Mariota went to you guys out there at the Raiders, man. Like when he came in for that one game, like every Titans fan turned on the TV was like rooting as hard as we could for him because
he's a good dude.
He's like the most solid dude ever in the NFL. Like he, like just nice guy, and he was terrible at interviews. Like if the post game or you were never going to get anything juicy out of him.
Right.
It's like, what did you do before the game? Well, I made my bed and
taking a day. Well, there's that scene in Bull Durham where he's teaching him, take every game day by day, and we're here for the team. All the stock answers.
That, oh yeah. But yeah, it's good. He's a good dude, but just marred by injuries and everything else, man. But
yep.
He got us out of 2-12 and 3-13, so I'll give him that much.
For sure. Yeah, I like the Titans. They're a good other AFC team for me because they're not in the division, and I like Tannehill. And who's the quarterback you got?
Yeah, Tannehill.
Yeah, all right. And like the coach, and they've always just been, who can argue with the running back, with Henry, right?
Henry, yeah.
He's just bulldozer, man. So it's I root for him.
Yeah, I think the last time we spoke, we were at your bar. Uh-huh. And
here now.
And I was thinking that we talked about this, but the memory of the Titans and Raiders playoff game where Metallica shows up.
Oh yeah.
And there's that clip online of James like, "For whom the bell tolls on the Titans today," and I'm like, dude, that's my team, man. Come on. Like
that was so good. There was rumors that they were gonna, we probably already talked about this, but they were on the opposite side where we usually tailgated and went over there and a pit opened up. They played Creeping Death. They played, all the, I think they might have played Metal Militia, or no, they played Phantom Lord. They played Phantom Lord. So it was just it was a perfect day for us. And then we just got blitzed.
No, you guys won. Yeah, I was gonna say you guys won that one, but.
Oh yeah, crushed that game. But then Barrett Robbins, the center for the Raiders, went out, the night before and just went insane, lost our offensive line.
Didn't he go like Mexico or something like the night before, or Tijuana or something? Who does that the night before the Super Bowl and just gets lost?
I think he was bipolar, so I think that he just, he was in a mode. Whatever. Nice. What are you doing, man? Where are you at?
I live right outside Louisville, so yeah.
Louisville's Kentucky.
Yeah, good times here, man. We actually bought a house out in the country, so not a lot of people around now, so that's kind of nice.
Oh, right on. Yeah, people are bad these days, right?
Not even that. Just it's funny, growing up, I wanted to be like the guy that lived in an apartment above like a dry cleaner or a Chinese food restaurant, like downtown.
Oh.
And the older I get, man, I'm like, just give me some land and let me go mow the yard.
That's cool.
How's dad life treating you, the new baby coming along?
Yeah, it's has multiplied in the past couple months, and it's a lot, man. It's a lot. So if you have kids, you know that. But Magnus is our newest son, and he's, I think, 10 weeks on Saturday, and he's been a pretty chill kid. He figured out the sleeping and been behaving pretty good. So now, but since he's been born, Marta's been on with him. And I've got all the wolf duties falling upon me. So, and he's the active child.
Yeah.
Wolf is our 5-year-old, and he thinks he's Sonic. And every time I call his name, "Hey, Wolf," and he's like, "I'm also Sonic." every time without fail. He wears his red shoes and thinks he's a blue hedgehog. So lets everybody know it too. Super sweet boy, loving kid. But just really active, and so he's taking up a lot of time.
That was pretty awesome. The Magnus has already made his video debut.
Yeah, we did that Boys of Summer collab jam for the David Z Foundation, and Marta had added some keys to the song. It's like, I got to get you in the video, and we hadn't filmed her parts yet, and the kid Magnus just needed to be with her the whole time, so it's just put him in the carrier and I have him be in there, and he stuck it out. He did pretty good.
It's pretty cute, man. Yeah, I was like, oh, there's the baby. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Already been in more collaboration videos than I have, so how about that?
Well, his dad does quite a few of them. So,
well, I was going to bring that up, man. You were like Mr. Collaboration, Mr. Quarantine Jam. Every time you turn around, it's like, you know, members of this band, X Machine Head. And you're like, right? I bet that's Phil Dimmel.
Now it's gotten to, at least it's just like violence, you know, right. Phil from Violence now. I'm not ever expecting to lose the X Machine Head title, but it's nice to be noted for, you know, things that's
what
been
you're currently doing. Yeah.
It's going on 3 years now. So it's, you know, past time to move on.
Hey, Ron McGovney's still ex Metallica. So
what is the difference? There's a big difference between right. Metallica and Machine Head, man.
Well, in some people's eyes, I guess. How was it doing those quarantine jams? You know, people reaching out saying, hey, will you throw a solo on this? Come together pretty quickly.
Yeah, a lot of them were people. And if I didn't have the time, those are the ones that I just did the solos on. The what was the one I did with the Byzantine and Chris Cale and CJ from Byzantine?
That was Metallica cover, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Like Harvester of Sorrow, I think?
No.
Something on Justice?
Shortest Straw.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a solo I'd never learned before, and it's a pretty tricky solo, man.
Yeah.
And so that was fun. The Blackout one I did with some guys from Germany. And what else did I do? I don't know. It's been a lot. Look at the list of people that I've done these things with. It's just really insane, you know. Graham Bonnet did one with, you know, Billy Sheehan and Rudy Sarzo and, you know, some of these legends that it's really been – super cool. You know, yeah, they're covers and it's, you know, not original stuff and being all that creative, but it's fun for me to get into learning my Pro Tools rig that I've had forever and, you know, learning how to do all this stuff. And so, yeah, been a lot of fun, man.
I know we've talked about it a few times. I've even heard you talk about it a little bit, but, you know, leaving Machine Head, you were talking about, you know, being a little, the self-doubt in the talent, you know, does all of this kind of help out and be like, you know, help you out in that side of it?
Yeah, it has. It's you know, it's pushed me a little bit. And there was, you know, I in 16 years of doing something, you know, I got a little complacent probably in my playing and my attitude towards playing and took things for granted. And as you come down into to a microscope and as I'm tracking myself, it's like, well, yeah, that ain't good enough, you know, and have pushed myself in that direction. So I think that there is a lot of validity to, you know, some of that doubt or whether I had it, you know, doing the Slayer thing really pushed me into reality.
Right.
And like, fuck, this isn't, you know, you're out of your comfort zone. This is, you're stepping into this legendary spot and you need to, you know, pay it that respect. And maybe I was guilty of not doing that previously and learning some of the stuff and, you know, and Machine Head and stuff. So it's, can't look back in that sense, but move forward in the sense that a lot of the stuff that I've been doing, yeah, learning, you know, loss of control to play with Billy Sheehan, and, you know, Jeff Scott Soto and learning an Eddie solo and learning, you know, a Randy solo to play. And, you know, this hasn't been released yet. And I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say anything, but I don't think that it is a problem. I was supposed to, play the Bloodstock Festival with Devin Townsend and and do some shows with him.
Yeah.
And so I learned his set leading up and to the point where the UK just wasn't letting Americans in and I wasn't going to be able to make the deadline.
Yeah,
so
he announced that he's got an entirely like British band or whatever now for that. So
okay, so I don't know if they announced that, but up until a week ago, you know, I was playing guitar in that and we were looking forward as playing. And so I learned the Devin set and it was cool because he sent me stems of everything and I'm able to break down just the one part or I could play along with the drums or take that part out or whatever. So it was in learning the Pro Tools rig, I was able to, you know, create these sessions and be able to, you know, turn the click up or just play with the click or play with just me and Devin or something like that. So I think that, you know, learning the Devin tunes was such a good training for me. And I found all these different methods and modes of how to learn how to play the guitar. I mean, he plays in open C and open B, you know, these tunings that are, I'd never played in before.
Right.
You know, maybe, I don't know if the Rain Song by Zeppelin is in an open tuning, but I think it might be, or some Stones songs are, but I've never played metal
right,
and tunings, you know, so it opens up this whole other box and a whole other language, kind of, you know, like these are the sounds you make in, you know, in this tuning. So I'm feeling really confident in my playing now, you know, more so than ever. Technique I've really worked on playing the violence tunes and writing these violence songs for this EP, are the riffs are, you know, incredibly hard, and I wanted them to be perfect. You know, I always flash back to, you know, stories of Dime when he's listening to the final Vulgar mixes, and, you know, there's descriptions of him, you know, from multiple people, just going like, you just got up off the couch and just cried a little bit and just said, it's perfect, you know. And that's what I wanted with these five songs, and I really feel that, you know, I accomplished that. I'm so proud of all my dudes and all the dudes, they're not my dudes, but all the guys in the band, and of what we accomplished with these five songs, man. I think that people are really gonna be floored and really surprised and really stoked on what we've created.
Yeah, I was listening to the teaser as we were getting ready that you guys put out on Instagram, I believe, and it sounds awesome. Like, I can't wait to hear the rest of it.
Yeah.
Is there a title to that song, or what is that a snippet of?
Yeah, the song that is on that teaser is the opening track. It's called Flesh from Bone. And there's five tunes. A song called Screaming Always. And it's, you know, there's so many elements cool of, like, I tried to cull some really cool elements of the first record that I wrote, Eternal Nightmare. So just try to garner some of their original violent sounds, but make it kind of modern and make the riffs kind of modern too. Sean's singing is so fucking killer. You know, he was a love or hate back in the day, and he's developed this grit, and still Sean, it's still his tones.
But yeah.
Man, I mean, we have this song called Upon Their Cross, and in all my writing, I have so many songs that I'm writing for different things, and I have different people in mind. You know, my Echoes of Reckoning thing, I haven't released anything under that for a while because I've been fucking busy doing all this other shit. But it was a song that I had written, and I didn't think it was a violent song. It's kind of a slower, it's heavy as fuck, but it's kind of a slower pace, and when we were writing it, I'm all, man, I don't know if this is a violence tune or not. It might be for something else or somebody else. And then Sean came in with these vocals that fit, and it was great. But once we heard it in the studio for the first time, because we're a typical thrash band, everybody plays too loud, you can't hear the vocals.
Right.
There's feedback everywhere. Right. You know? So we got, once we heard him do a couple passes of the vocals, me and Perry were there, and I got chills right now. Just going, holy fuck, he sounds incredible. This sounds, you know, nothing like really like old violence, but it sounds like what we are now. So I would just want to kind of stress that the five of us now moving forward, since we do have two new guys in the band, new old guys, with Christian Old Warbers on bass from Fear Factory and Power Flow and many other bands, and Bobby Gustafson from Overkill, playing with us, that we want to move forward, you know, play some of the old, you know, play the old songs that people want to hear, but really push this as a new band.
Yeah.
A new five piece.
You know, I was talking to
No,
you're good. I was in it. Talking to Kyle Thomas the other day of Exhorter, and I was talking to him about Exhorter and Violence. To me, are very similar in that you guys didn't do a ton back in the day, but you did just enough to create like a mythology of the band, you know.
Yes,
like,
right.
And like, because until recently, within the last maybe 5 to 10 years, I had never heard Exhorter, but you always heard that they were the band that Pantera ripped off.
Right.
And so
right,
there was like a mystery about them. And I remember being like, there's no way Pantera ripped off anybody. And then I played it and I was like, that's a little bit, a little too close for comfort for me on that one. But I mean, and then with Violence, you've got the Rob Flynn connection, you know, you've got the stuff in there. So like, I may not have heard Violence back in the day, but heard of them over the years. And so like when you kind of come back around, you know, 30, 35 years later, it's like everybody's like can hear it now. And like you guys are bigger now than you probably were back in the day.
Yeah. I think that there was, you know, we never got to Europe back in the day, and we did like maybe two or three tours, and that's it. You know, we fired our manager, who was really popular, and you know, she knew, she was friends with everybody in the industry, so that basically killed the band. Sorry.
It's all right.
And so, you know, it's, people always say, yeah, I love violence. I'm all, no, you didn't. You know, if everybody who said they were into violence back in the day, there probably wouldn't have been a Machine Head, because we would have still been together, right, and still been popular and still, you know. So it's pretty cool. We have this cult stigma of back then. In the Bay Area, we killed it. You know, that was, we owned the Bay Area, and still kind of do. You know, our shows sell out in minutes. You know, it's crazy how much this area loves the band. Outside, you know, LA's pretty into us, but we, you know, it's smaller in the other places we're going. So it's really interesting to see everybody come out, and really excited to see what this does.
And another thing with the technology of recording, I think that of all genres, that thrash was the one genre that the technology behind recording makes thrash sound so much better. Like you can get in there, and you know, you were talking earlier about being in a practice room and everybody's too loud and you don't know what's going on. There were so many thrash records that you know something cool's going on, but you don't know exactly what it is. But now you can hear every single drum, every single cymbal, every single guitar string. Like everything's separated enough where you can tell what's going on and everything sounds so much better.
For sure. Absolutely. We've actually thought about like re-recording some of the older stuff. And then, so you can hear properly little, because I've shown, you know, showing everybody the old songs and they're like, oh fuck, I didn't even know that you're doing that there. I didn't even know, you know, it's like, yeah, that's the riff. You just can't hear all the little distinctions and all the little small parts that happen. And, that's why I'm digging like this new record, like you said, that the technology is there and, you're hearing all the little bits and really super stoked on all Perry's little roles, and we're able to add harmonies. And so not like we couldn't before, but it's just different now.
What's Christian and Bobby kind of added to the band?
What have they?
Yeah. What have they added to it?
Man, you know, I think that, of course there's a level of musicianship, you know, that hadn't been there in previous. And I mean, we've been doing reunions for 20 years now. So, right. You know, but I think that, you know, a level of professionalism, the level of the musicianship, you know, we were always, when we got back together, we wanted to do it because we were the five dudes that were doing it towards the end. It was just about family and about, kind of loyalty in that sense. And when we took that as far as it could go, to a point to where, hey, we're doing a record now and we're signing a deal and hey, we're going to be doing some touring and things just kind of, you know, went their own way. So I'm not going to bash any of the old dudes. You know, they all, you know, Dean was with us from the beginning, you know, off and on when he felt like it to the degree of what his, commitment would be. He's got a family that he needs to take care of and a great union job. And so he needed to stay home. And, so Bobby, you know, awesome, amazing player, love him as a dude, you know, he writes riffs and, Christian, same deal, man. I've known the dude for years and was a huge fan of the band. And, the guy's got this vast knowledge of, you know, he recorded the California Uberalis, single for us. So we just did that in our jam pad. We were just like, hey, let's just record this. And you know, people were pissed. What are you doing a cover for? I haven't released music in years. And you just, it's like, because we fucking want to, man. This is, you know,
right.
We feel like it. We don't have a record ready, but we want to release something with this, you know, with this lineup. And, you know, he brings this sense of knowing of gear and sounds and, you know, super professional in the way that he's learned, because the songs are hard, man. The songs are, both him and Bobby have put in a lot of time into learning all the little nuances and riffs and, you know, that haven't really been played that way since, you know, Rob and I wrote the music back in the day. So it's pretty exciting to hear the first two records played with, you know, top-notch gear and the top-notch playing, right, you know, the way it's supposed to be played. So it's pretty exciting.
How's the how's the bar been for the last year or so? I know California kind of had a lot of crazy restrictions, and were you guys closed at all? Were you able to do anything in the parking lot, anything like that?
So when did we talk? When were you here?
You were the last in-person interview I did in February last year. Okay. Yeah, it was February. It was like Valentine's weekend.
A month later.
Yeah.
Yeah, St. Paddy's Day, which is our biggest day of the year in Dublin, California, you know.
Right.
That's when the shelter in place started. So they shut us down for 6 months. And when we reopened, we had to serve food. So we had to partner with a caterer because apparently if you have a cheeseburger in front of you, you're not going to catch COVID. So we had to move outside, and I understand that part, you know, so we got some easy ups and we have a parking lot in the back. And so we had this outside thing going, and you know, it's October and it's getting cold, you know, so business, we're doing maybe 15% of what we were doing. So it was just tough.
Yeah.
3 months, we started doing karaoke and doing some comedy nights, trying to get some, you know, drive some traffic through here. They closed us back down in January because of the second wave, you know, and so we reopened back in March. No, it was December. I think it was the beginning of December they shut us down. So we were open for 3 months, shut for three more. And then in March they opened up and everything started gradually getting easier and easier and easier. And we're back in business, man. So we were able to weather the storm. We got some grants. You know, the wife was really diligent in getting some help from the government. So, you know, they helped out a lot. And we were one of the lucky ones that we got through relatively unscathed. So we had some resources to kind of to make it happen. But people are back, and, you know, it's good to – starting a couple of days ago, they started another mask mandate here, so people have to have masks inside. So, but and there it is, shit's going around, you know.
It's crazy.
I don't want to talk about vaccinations and anybody's choices or any of that. So we're obeying all the CDC guidelines for our business, and we'll see how we go.
Are you excited to get back out and play some shows again, and you know, get out there with the people?
I am. You know, I was bummed that bloodstock, we had to pull out of bloodstock. That was going to be pretty fun. We're playing our first show with this lineup tomorrow.
Nice.
In Fresneck, California. we didn't want to do a Bay Area show for the first one. That's a lot of pressure on the new dudes to, you know, have their first show in front of the home crowd. And so we went out. It's about two and a half hours south of here. And
so you're going on tour. So,
huh?
You're doing a local band tour, you know?
Yeah. So we, you know, get the first one out of the belts, and we're playing the Alcatraz Festival in Belgium next week. So, it's exciting to do that. We've got a lot of shows doing, like Chicago and playing Atlanta, playing LA and San Diego, playing just weekend shows, bomb in, bomb out. So it's we're ready, man. We're ready to do it. I'm doing a Metal Allegiance show back east. Devin and I will probably do something in the future. He's on. I know you put the work in, man. We're going to get together and jam at some time, you know. Yeah, busy working on a lot of cool stuff for next year too, man. There's a lot happening.
Yeah, and you've got the Headbangers Ball tour for next year. Voivod Exciter Artillery 2021. Yeah. So that's going to be...
That's this year. That's in November.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You read those like European dates and they're backwards. So you're like, oh, this is next. Oh, no, wait a minute. Because you start seeing them and you're like, why are they playing one show a month for...
I know, right? Yeah, you read the dates sometimes. And you know, they've actually got it right, you know, because it's day, month, year, you know.
Right.
If they always break down like our... you know, our measuring system, and, you know, as opposed to theirs, it's like, look, 1 through 10, you know, it's like 16 cups and a blah, 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 and a
right.
blah, 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 you know. So it's, they've got it right. I wish we would adapt to that.
Yeah. And I guess the reason we spell words wrong is because of, typesetters back in the day. That's like favorite and color and all those words.
Really? I didn't know that.
Because they would charge by the letter. So they're like, get these extra letters out of here.
Oh, I love that. That's so American laziness.
trying to cut out another, penny from back in the day. So,
right.
So instead of C-O-L-O-U-R, it's get that
allower.
U-R. Man, I'm excited to talk to you, man. It's been a minute, and I'm glad everything's kind of coming back around. Like I said, the teaser sounds awesome. I can't wait for people to hear the entire album. Is there a tentative date on the album? I know it says early next year, but
We're looking at late July or late January right now. We're doing a lot of this ourselves, so we're getting the layout together, getting the pictures together. So we're looking at last week of January. So that might get pushed back a week. But, because it takes a while we're doing vinyl. So it takes a while to set up the vinyl and everything is just ridiculous amounts of setup. So we want to have those collectors pieces and metal, working with Metal Blade and Tracy and Heidi over at Metal Blade have been awesome. We've been doing a lot ourselves. We had Tui Madsen, who's done some haunted records and a lot of the maybe Dark Tranquility and a bunch of bands over there. He mixed it. Ted Jensen did a master on it, man. It sounds fucking great. Like I said, I just always think of Dime, just thinking it's perfect. The leads, I was able to record the leads at my house, it was fun just to be able to just like blaze through 150 times. I wanted to play all the solos from front to back. I wanted to do one pass,
right?
No, not one take, but do them all in a single pass, because in the past I, was showed or was just, hey, just punch in this note or try to get this run or try to blah, blah, blah for lack of saving time or whatever. So, I wanted to get them in one pass. And so I was able to do that on this record. And there's some, like there's a solo in this song called Let the World Burn. And it's the first thing I tracked. It was the first, first pass, first take. And I got this magical, it's not a dive bomb, but the opposite. So it's
right.
Sitting, and I got three notes, and one of them's going down, and one of them's going up. And I got this magical thing. Like, it's like, oh shit. When you capture lightning bottle like that, you're like, oh fuck, I'm glad that, Jack Black, Tenacious D, like, always record.
You posted a picture the other day of you like crowd walking or whatever, and you're wearing a Metallica like Jump in the Fire original tee, and you also talk about the shoes, and I was thinking you're wearing like $1,000 worth of vintage. You would have never thought at the time, but that shirt's probably $500, those shoes are probably $500 now. It's crazy to look back on stuff like that.
Well, the shoes cost me over $100 back in the day because I played a lot of pickup basketball. I was playing a lot of basketball, so I wanted the latest and the greatest that came out, And those, I didn't know that the Jump in the Fire T-shirt would go for that much, but that was the original one, man. We were on tour with Testament in Columbus, Ohio, and Dean took the picture because he actually took another one, and I can't find it. Because I was running across the stage and I walked in because Testament was on the New Order tour. And so I was running on heads across, and then I did a swan dive like in front of him. So there's another picture of me doing a swan, swan dive right at him.
Nice.
Can't find that fucker though. I wasn't much of a pitter back in the day. I was more of a stage diver.
Yeah, I think I tried that one time. We played a show in I think it's the Rave in Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like one of the best shows we ever played, and crowd was going crazy. And I was like, into the show, I dove in the crowd and like no one cared. And that's just like the new bass player just dove at me. And like, all right, I guess that wasn't as cool as I thought it was, but good time.
Did you see I posted another picture the day before of me diving in Birmingham.
Yeah.
Into this arena of people. And it was a good, it was a good 5 foot drop and a carry of about 5 feet over the barricade too. So you got to trust them. If they wouldn't have caught me there, I probably would have broke my neck.
I never understand people that collect shoes, like people that, buy vintage shoes. And then one day I was scrolling through Facebook and a pair of old Reebok pumps showed up. And I was like, okay, I get it now. I would totally buy some Reebok pumps. Those are like, to me, when I was a kid in middle school and elementary school, those were like the coolest shoes ever. Like a friend of mine let me put his on, you know, you pump the little basketball on the shoe and stuff. Uh-huh. And I was like, all right, I get it now.
Yeah. The ones in the picture that I was, those Nikes I was wearing, those were pumped too. And they had a dial on them. So you switch it one way and it gets around your ankle.
Yeah.
You move it the other way and you pump it and it pumps up the arch. So it was like you were wearing a, you know, a boot. Those they were, and they weighed about 20 pounds or whatever. Fucking, you know.
Did they help out your? Awesome. Did they help out your basketball game?
No, because I've got like a 6-inch vertical. Anyways, I can't.
You know, and then you put on 20-pound shoes, and it goes down to 4 inches. So. Yeah. Well, Phil, man, I'll let you get back to the rest of your day. I appreciate you taking some time with us here on TalkToMeNotFest.com now. How do you like that?
Look at that. Is it official?
It's been official.
I see a trademark around that somewhere.
You know, yeah. That would be awesome if I just said I was on NotFest, you know, but yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, that being said, you know, God bless you, Joey Jordison, and sad moment for all of us there. And we miss you, Joey, so.
Absolutely. The one thing I will say that Rob did a podcast about Joey, and he said Joey was just wear him out about violence.
Like he
so I thought that was great.
Rob talked about violence?
Yeah, in kind of a positive manner.
Whoa.
so there you go.
That's cool. Yeah, Joey was a big violence fan. There was a cool picture of him wearing a Death Angel shirt, and I think Rob or Mark posted it up, and how they played like one of their songs. His high school band played like a Death Angel cover like that. Joey was just like the coolest dude, you know, super knowledgeable about music and, you know, just loved music. It was, he was supposed to send me some sticks for the bar here because I have these.
Yeah, yeah.
Take you guys out here and show you the. You've seen them. You've seen them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. So we have these. These chandeliers,
right.
These are Dave Lombardo's things right here. And so Joey's supposed to send some out, and I do have some sticks of his back home, but I don't have enough for a full chandelier. So we'll get something set up for Joey here. He was a big supporter of the back lounge here, and me and the wife.
Awesome. Well, Phil, man, thanks for coming on, and we'll talk soon, bud.
All right, dude. Be good, Doc.
Thanks, man. Take care. We'll be right back. a huge thank you to Phil Dimmel for coming on the Talk To Me podcast here, notfest.com. Make sure to support Phil Dimmel and everything that he does, Quarantine Jams and Violence, and go check out his bar if you're in Dublin, California. It's called The Back Lounge. It's pretty awesome. Had some drinks there the last time I was in town. So definitely cool. Go check that out. Go say hi to Phil. And if you're listening on post day, make sure to check out Throwback Throwdown with Toomey. Tonight we've got Tim Williams of VOD, now of Roland Coffins, and we've got Maddie Mullins of Memphis May Fire. It's going to be an awesome show. Always free. twitch.tv/notfestofficial, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. Come hang out in the chat. Say hello. Let me know what you thought about this episode. And you can always ask the guests on the Throwback Throwdown with Toomey Twitch show. Always throw out some questions for those guys. So until next Thursday, for the Talk To Me podcast, I am Joshua Toomey, and I will talk to you guys soon.
The Talk To Me podcast, presented by NotFest.com. Follow the show at Talk To Me Talk. Be sure to subscribe, rate the podcast, and leave a review on your favorite podcast app to get the latest from the Talk To Me podcast.